Price anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. I'm live on Sunday mornings on News Talk WSB 11 to 1. Really glad you could join me today. Our number 404-872-0750. Pick up the phone, give me a call. You know, everybody, each week I'll get some emails and they'll say, the email will say, you know, I really tried to get in and then the lines were all jammed and I couldn't get on the phone to you. Well, the time to call is right now because the lines are wide open. 404-872-0750. I am so glad you tuned in this morning. This was such a crazy week. A crazy week of business news that was shaking. I was shaking from some of the numbers that came out. And I thought, we are heading back into recession. It's like the 1930s redux all over again. Even though we've already lived it and everybody's always watching for it, it's like, you got to be kidding me. We are standing at the precipice of a financial cliff. And I feel like I'm watching the economy start to tip over. And I've been saying for a while on the show that I feel like we're right on the edge. I've said it for at least the last 2 years, because even though we technically came out of recession in June of 2009, right? When I look out, all I see are people who are really worried. I see numbers like the housing pending home sale number this week from the National Association of Realtors. That was dreadful. I see unemployment numbers. Dreadful. And what have I always said about unemployment, jobs, and real estate? You cannot have a strong real estate market if people are unemployed. You know why? Because you can't pay the bills. You can't pay your mortgage. And so I'm looking out at these numbers this week, and I'm thinking, recession is coming. All the indications are pointing toward recession. Even the Fed Board of Governors is starting to talk about, well, you know, we always said that we could do a QE3 if things got bad again. Yeah. It's coming. And it may not be as bad as it was for the Great Recession, right? Because the Depression, the Great Depression, the second one that came back after that 4 years later in 37, was not as bad as the first one. But we didn't really get out of that one until World War II. That was long and not good and very tough. And so I'm going to tell you two things that you need to do in order to prepare for this coming recession. And I say this lightly. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was on Money Watch and we were doing Ask the Experts. And I was like, no, I'm feeling pretty good about it. It's looking like it's going to hold. You know, we're not going to do what we did the last 2 years, which is have a really strong spring and then a really lousy summer. It's going to be okay. But I'm changing my mind. Call me a flip-flopper. I am looking out at these numbers thinking, the jobs number was so horrible. Everything about the jobs report was so horrible. I was shaking. Right? We added just 69,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate climbed up 0.1% to 8.2%. And everybody guessed wrong. That's really all it is when the economists get out there, right? They're guessing what's going to happen. They're taking a look and they're guessing. And the ADP report, which month after month is wrong, and God knows why CNBC touts it like the second coming. But every month they do, and every month they're wrong. And this time they were spectacularly wrong. And the jobs report looked at what happened and revised downward the number of jobs created over the last 2 months prior. The economic recovery, which is already going so slowly, it might as well be in reverse, is slowing down further. And it isn't just lack of jobs. Wages and incomes are lower. The number of hours people are working is lower. Part-time jobs are up. Full-time jobs not doing so great. And remember, if we're not even creating 125, 130, 140,000 jobs a month net, we're not even breaking even. Like, people are still having babies, and those babies go off and go to college, and they come out of school, and they need a job. And we need to create 130, 140,000 jobs just to break even. And we're at 69,000 this month. So, yeah, you can say that we're creating jobs every single month over, you know, since the recession ended. And I would just say to you, recession is coming back. So there are two things you must do to avoid getting caught. And I know you're scared you're going to lose your job. I know that there are 13 million people looking for jobs and about 3 million jobs available, 4 to 1. And having a college degree no doubt helps. But, I don't know, 600,000-700,000 college graduates just left school this month and they're looking for jobs too now. The competition is tough, and you're scared, and you're afraid that by now you might be the sole support of your family, and if that goes away, what are you going to do? And it could be as simple as not even losing your job. I mean, you could just, something else could happen. One of my cousins had a terrible crash. He was on his scooter, driving to work, following the rules, paying attention, and a woman didn't see him and slammed right into him. He's had 2 months of being out of work. It could be something as simple as an accident. You could lose your job in a heartbeat. So one of the things you have to do is you have to stop spending money. You have to focus on building the rainy day fund, because I think the rain is coming. It isn't. It could be hurricane proportions. We're in hurricane season now, officially. Thank you, June 1st. Or it could be just kind of this heavy shower. You know how we get it in Atlanta? That heavy shower just lasts for hours and hours and hours. And you just can't imagine there's that much water in those clouds. It could be like that. You have to find a way to set aside 5 to 10% of your income. And I'm not even talking about the 401k. This is outside of it. You got to find a way to put it away. And you've got to put it in a separate bank account. You've got to watch it grow. Because if the rain comes, when the rain comes, you've got to be ready. I don't care how you do it. You have to do it. I'm doing it. And the way you do it is tip number two. You be proactive. You stop spending money where you don't need to spend it. And I mean dinners out. I mean, you got comfortable, the gas went under $4 a gallon, and you're spending a little bit more. Stop. Wake up. Because if it happens to you next week, it's too late for you to build the kitty. Right? It's just too late. There is no downside to having extra cash on hand. None whatsoever. Stick it in a bank account. It doesn't matter. There's no downside. There's only upside. Cash in the bank gives you options. It allows you to make smart moves with your career. It allows you to make smart moves with your family. You can help pay for college. You can help pay for your kid's wedding. You can pay the doctor bill. You can replace the car fan motor when it breaks. Cash in the bank. 5 to 10%. Be proactive. You can't hide from this. Just like I told you in 2007, you weren't going to be able to hide from what was coming down the line. You're not going to be able to hide from this. And if you try to hide from this, it's going to get you. And I don't like being the big, bad, scary radio talk show host. I am very, very concerned about what I'm seeing going on. And I don't want you to get caught in this. Because if you get caught, you should see what my inbox says. The number of people who email me and they've been caught and they don't know what to do. It's terrifying for them. So every time mortgage interest rates go down a tick, and they did again, they hit an all-time new record low for 15-year loans. I couldn't even believe it went down 2.97%. Locked in, fixed for 15 years. It seems like an amazing thing. Very few people can refinance right now. It just is another indication that we're headed down the abyss. Europe, a mess. China, slowing down. Latin America, all these things that were so interconnected. It's a very messy summer. Europe is heading into recession. I don't care what anybody else says. It's going to affect us. And you have to be ready. You have to be ready because recession is coming. 404-872-0750. That is our number here at the station. Would love to talk to you. I'm going to start tweeting on Twitter. I forgot to tell you this at the beginning of the show. One of the fun things about this show is I am tweeting live while we are on the air. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And if you're not signed on to Twitter, you're going to miss out on half the conversation. Alex joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Elise. How are you doing?
I'm good. A little scared. What about you this morning?
I'm all right. Not too bad.
Good for you. What's going on in your world?
I'm 23 years old. I bought my first foreclosure property last year in Atlanta, a condo.
Congratulations. And that is fantastic.
Yeah, I rented it out this year. I'm getting $750 rental income. I paid cash for it.
How much did you pay for it?
I paid $13,000 with renovations, came to $20,000.
$20,000 for a condo.
Yeah, right in near downtown Atlanta.
Fantastic. Good for you for having the gumption to do that. So what do you need advice from me for?
I was going to try to do my next move, and I wanted to see, is it better to buy low-end properties, like for $20,000, two for $20,000, or buy one for like $40,000?
Well, it depends where it is, how much rent you can get. If you're telling me that you're going to pay $20,000 and get $750 a month, that's a good deal. If you're going to buy $40,000 and you're going to get $750 a month, it's still a great deal. It's just not as good as the other deal.
Yeah, I'm hoping to catch the price appreciation, so I'm debating whether to buy a high-end property for price appreciation or hope to catch a price appreciation from the low-end properties.
I think that you're always going to get better appreciation from lower-end properties, but if you think $40,000 is a high-end property, I'm here to tell you it's not. It's not a high-end property, although you may think it is. We had somebody on the show last week who bought a property for $500,000. It's worth $350,000. That's a high-end property.
Uh-huh.
You have low and super low.
I understand.
I'm
going from my budget perspective.
I understand. Just wanted you to understand that low end is going to ultimately boost the property higher. And the reason I say that low end is the better bet is if you look at what's happening in Nevada and in Phoenix, developers are swooping in and they are scooping up everything that's priced under, say, $50,000, $75,000. They'll take it all. It's almost sight unseen. There are bidding wars going on. Because when those $20,000 and $40,000, and there are more of those $20,000 and $40,000 deals in Atlanta, but when they are gone, they're gone, and so then people will go to the next lowest thing to buy.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so if you could get $2 for $40 versus $1 for $40 and get $750 a month, you have found, my friend, a recipe for success. Go for it. Let me know what happens. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. If you want me to pick up the price of the call, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
27 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show. I want you to do the math with me really quickly right now. 22 years old, you buy a $20,000 property. You're getting $9,000 of income in that property. If our last caller holds that property for 10 or 15 years and sells it for $50,000, he will have earned over $100,000. This is how real estate fortunes are made, one piece of property at a time. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more. 404-872-0750 on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back. I've been having these great Twitter interactions during the break with a couple of our listeners. Actually, there are a whole bunch of listeners, and you can join in at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And we're chatting about what I had said just before we went to the break. Do the math. If you buy a $20,000 piece of property and you're getting $750 a month in rent, it's $9,000 a year. 2 years, you've more than paid it off. 2.5 years. Okay, sue me. But seriously, you know, our caller paid cash for the property and is getting in $750 and is going to buy some more. And so I've had a whole bunch of folks online chatting about this with me, which has been sort of interesting because the math is really, really cool. If you have a $20,000 property and it gets, let's say in 10 years, it's worth $50,000, which I think is perfectly reasonable because $20,000 properties don't come around that much anymore, to borrow a phrase. And meanwhile, you've brought in $90,000 in income. Now, you got some, you definitely have some expenses and you got to maintain and, you know, repair and all that kind of thing. I'm just hearing from a guy named Matt on Twitter who said, just bought one for $26,000 in cash last year. He's renting it out for $950 a month, and he's bumping the rent to $1,025 a month in September. That math looks even better. I don't even know how to say it any other way. When you're looking at math, you think to yourself, why am I not out there buying every single piece of property that I can? Go for the low ones. Why not? It's a huge return. It's the way you build an amazing fortune. It's the way you start to accumulate real wealth, wealth that you can depend on in your life, wealth that is going to provide you with deductions and credits and all kinds of really great tax opportunities. You too can be like Romney and only pay 14% of your income. Why? Or nothing. Because when you have depreciation, it really knocks your taxes for a loop, and in a good way for you. You're perfectly legal. You're buying real estate. But there are so many benefits to creating wealth through real estate. And we talk about it all the time on this show. Like, why wouldn't you do this? It's incredible. We just had a caller who just left a quick question, which was, well, if we're going into recession, how does that affect property prices? And the answer is, probably means we're going to stay at the bottom for a little while longer. Or it could mean that we're staying at the bottom for a little while longer. But it's good to buy when prices are low. Mac joins us on the line from Cartersville. Mac, your question is along those same lines. Are we at the bottom, right?
Oh, that's right. I, about 3 years ago, bought some apartments at the wrong time. And I've got two questions.
Okay, number what's your one, first question?
My first question is, I picked up a Fannie Mae, Fannie Mac house about 50% on the dollar. 50% on the dollar. And it was a quick close. I was absolutely amazed. But I'm looking at commercial property, Class A, for about 20 cents on the dollar. And is this the time to buy it now? Is it going down, I mean, plus or minus 10%, more than 10%?
But, Matt, is this property that you're stuck because you think that, like so many people, that you'll be able to time this so you hit it at the very bottom? Your question indicates to me that you're looking for a bottom to buy. And each property, each neighborhood is going to have a different bottom. If you think about what happened in the Great Recession, right? Some properties peaked in 2006. Some properties peaked in 2007. Some peaked in 2005. It depends where you live. And it depends what you're looking at. If you can buy commercial property at 20 cents on the dollar, you should make that investment today. Because it's 20 cents on the dollar. It's like buying a house that should be a $100,000 condo, and you're buying it for $20,000. When is that ever a bad deal?
I don't think it is.
So then why are you asking the question? You already know the answer.
Well, no. I like a consensus.
Okay.
Now, if this is a good deal, I'd like to put together about a $5 billion investment group and buy some of these properties so there are some more around in the area.
Okay. And what's stopping you?
Well, I'm 80 years old.
80 years old. Good for you.
And my question is, I won't realize the anticipated growth in this, which is, doesn't bother me at all. I want to do this for my kids. But is this the time to go ahead with that, do you think?
Well, I just like to say, Matt, that if you're 80, you sound pretty full of vigor to me. So I'm thinking you easily got another 10, 15, 20 years. That should see you through some of that appreciation, right? You're buying real estate.
I'm all for that.
That's right. I mean, you're buying this piece of property and a bunch of other pieces of property, doing it for your kids, whoever you're going to do with it. If you are willing and able to make an active real estate investment for 20 cents on the dollar, and you see a future because you've lived the past, go ahead and do that. Because you know what? Your kids may not be able to see as far as you. They haven't lived as long as you. Don't get stuck asking me to weigh in. I'm happy to weigh in. I think it's a great idea. Go ahead and do it. 20 cents on the dollar, sign everybody up that you can and get as much money as you can and go buy all of those properties because your legacy will be secure. And one day your grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to thank you.
Okay, let me put in one little picture. I'm a depression baby. I remember going downtown with Dad, and here's a big hotel that was in foreclosure. And I used to think, why in the world would anybody buy property if it's going into foreclosure? So hopefully we're not in that area again.
Well, that just means there's more properties for you to buy at 20 cents on the dollar.
Well, and you mentioned 37. There was a recession in 37.
There was.
It wasn't as bad as that one. Okay. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. Go for it. Go forth and multiply your real estate acquisitions. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Carl joins us on the line from Locust Grove. Hi, Carl.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I got through. It's a miracle.
All you got to do is call at the right time.
I guess. I must have.
What's on your mind?
Yes. I bought our home about 5 years ago, and as most homes bought at that time, it's underwater.
Sure. Probably a lot.
Good bit.
Mm-hmm.
And HARP 2 has came out, and you hear all these advertisements from refinance this and refinance that for weeks instead of months. Generally, how long would it take to refinance a home under HARP 2?
I think it varies. I just think it varies from as little as maybe 6 to 8 weeks to maybe 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
Why are you hesitating?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how long is it going to take. And, you know, my expectations is 6 weeks, and it's taking 6 months. You know, that's...
Doesn't mean that you wouldn't try? What's your interest rate? Five and three quarters. So... just to set realistic expectations, you might be able to lower 5 3/4 down to about 4 3/4.
Okay.
You're not going to get 2.9% on a 15-year.
No.
And your bank may not do this for you. You can start there, but you can also go to other banks and see if they will help you.
Okay.
And I think you probably should. But you have to get yourself psyched up. And I'm hearing in your voice kind of a resignation that concerns me, Carl, because you can't go into this process. It's designed to beat you down anyway.
Oh. Okay.
Right?
Well, if I go in with the expectation that it's going to take 3 to 4 months and it takes 6 to 8 weeks, I'm ecstatic.
Well, you still got to get all your ducks in a row, and you got to get all your paperwork together and all the rest of it, but don't wait another day.
Okay.
I feel like you're just... have you been thinking about doing this for a while? Because it sounds to me like you're watching TV and you're seeing the ads, but you haven't actually taken action. Why not?
Well, I just haven't. How long is HARP 2 going to be in effect?
I don't know.
Who knows, huh?
I don't know. I really don't know. What I'm more concerned about is the fact that there are certain laws that expire at the end of 2012.
Well, I won't wait that long.
Well, every day that goes by.
Well, tomorrow's a good day to start calling folks.
I think it's a great day to start calling folks.
Thank you very much. I just had wondering what kind of timeline I could look forward to.
Oh, Carl, it so depends on every single one. Every single person is a different case. Every single lender, every single deal is hard and difficult. It is the rare individual who gets to have a mortgage done in about 45 days anymore. It just takes longer for almost everybody. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Let's continue on with calls. Melinda joins us on the line. Hey, Melinda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm in a bit of a stew, I guess. I don't know what to do.
What's going on?
I'm trying to do the Heart 2 program. Started like in March. And anyway, I had to have my home appraised.
Mm-hmm.
And I refinanced in 2007, and it appraised for 117. Now the appraisal came back in as 26, not 28, 26.
26,000 from 117?
Right, from 2007. And my question is, I don't believe this is correct. I think they're just taking the foreclosures that have been around in my area and said, well, this is an average and bada bing. And I don't think that's fair.
Well,
so
let's talk about why you don't think that's fair, because if you put your house in the market now and somebody came in and they said, well, there are four houses around you that have sold for $26,000 and none for $117,000, no bank is going to lend them $117,000 to buy your house.
Well, I'm not anticipating that, but at least 50, 60, maybe even 70. And the reason why, I live in a townhome. The one on the opposite end of me sold for 35, like about 3 years ago.
But 3 years ago is irrelevant. It's irrelevant to what's happening now. The only thing that matters is what's happened in the last 3 to 6 months. What's happened?
Yeah,
tell me what's happened in the last 3 to 6 months.
Okay, but I've been in my home almost 17 years.
But it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant, Melinda. What I'm trying to tell you is that when lenders come out, all they care about is what's happened in the last 3 to 6 months.
But that shouldn't affect me as a homeowner I pay on time.
Melinda, it does affect you as a homeowner, because what the banks are trying to do is understand what would happen if you left your house and tried to sell it today. That's the risk they're trying to gauge. Can't you understand that? So
yeah,
it's devastating for you, and my heart is breaking that your house is worth, after 17 years, I'm sure you paid more than $26,000 for it. Your house is worth a fifth of what it was just a few years ago, and that is a huge amount of money to evaporate. Even if it wasn't real money, because you weren't selling your house, it's just evaporated, that money. It's gone. And that is so hard to put your mind around when it has been ingrained in us for decades that if we just pay our mortgages on time, our houses are going to go up in value and we're going to be okay. And it's going to be fine. And it's not right now for you. And so the banks, maybe the appraisal should be $30,000, not $26,000. But the general number is nowhere near where you need it to be.
Yeah, but all of these that have sold don't have the square footage that I have. I have a huge yard where the other ones do not. And I have more square footage.
How much more square footage?
Probably about 500, 600, 700 more square feet.
What is that on a percentage basis? Is that another 50%?
I don't know.
It's a 2,000 square foot house, 500 square feet is 25%. But it may not be the kind of square footage that appraisers count, or maybe it should be 30,000, 40,000. But you know, you can go back, you can contest the appraisal.
But I haven't even received a copy. I've asked for it, and they haven't given it to me.
Well,
isn't that wrong?
Who paid for the appraisal?
I don't even know the guy's name, and I called the lender.
No, that was the appraiser. But if you paid for the appraisal, you should get a chance to take a look at it.
See out there comparing.
But where were you when the appraiser was there?
I was there. I was physically there.
Okay, and so did you talk to him while he was doing the appraisal?
Well, I mean, he hadn't calculated it up yet. Of course I chit-chatted with him.
Yeah. You know, Melinda, you can go back and talk to them. You can definitely go back and talk to, you know, your lender. You can insist that they do another one. They'll probably have you pay for it. But unfortunately, the biggest problem you have is that your house is worth roughly a fifth, maybe a quarter of what it was a few years ago. And you have to let go of that. You have to let go of the idea that your house was ever really worth $117,000 and instead start thinking about what size mortgage you have, which hopefully 4 years ago you didn't take out a $117,000 mortgage, what you have versus what you could get today. And that is the only number. Those two numbers are the only numbers that are relevant to the conversation, and it's heartbreaking. But it's not going to change. We have a huge announcement, something you've never heard before in WSB. It's happening tomorrow morning, Monday morning, June 4th at 10 a.m. It is what everybody in the city is going to be talking about, and you will hear it live tomorrow morning. You've got to tune in. And in the meantime, just to sort of keep you going, pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's a good report on the state's effort to manage Medicaid patient needs and how the tax, our tax dollars, your tax dollars, fund this billion-dollar program. 10 before the hour on AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. This is the Elise Klink Show. We're on Sundays every week, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. Glad you could join us today. Talking about how a recession is coming. May not be as big or as bad as what we saw, but having one is going to present challenges to some and huge, huge opportunities to those of you who are ready. And we've been talking with some of those people, and I've been tweeting with them online. So you should go to my Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and follow along. Because if you have the cash and you have the credit, there are properties that you could be buying for $20,000, $30,000 that are going to bring in $700, $800, $900, $1,000 a month. We're doing the math on the Elise Klink Show. I'm not even that good at math. My boys are really good at math. I'm not even that good at it, but even I can do this math, and so can you. 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. Tune in to Twitter. We're going to tweet during the break. You don't want to miss a single moment. I'm Elise Klink. It's 58 minutes past the hour. I'll be right back.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today here on News Talk WSB. This is a show where we talk to you, or I talk to you, about what you need to know to make really smart decisions with your real estate, investments, the money surrounding real estate, all these things that are so important. We've been talking the last hour about how I really have started to believe that a recession is coming, another recession. It's not going to be maybe as bad as the last one, hello, 1937, but it could be super tough anyway. And what this does is it presents huge challenges for some and huge opportunities for others. So we spent the first show, part of the show, talking about some of the challenges and the things that you have to do. You must start finding a way to put away 5 to 10%. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you have to cut out. Cut it out. Whatever it is. But on the other end, and we've been having this conversation already, the opportunities to buy real estate abound. And I have been having this very active discussion on Twitter all morning while we've been doing the show on doing the very simple math that if you buy a $20,000 or a $30,000 property and it generates $750 a month in cash or $9,000 a year, in 10 years, that property might bring in, say, $50,000. Right when you sell it, and another $90,000 in rent over that period of time. So your $20,000 investment could generate $140,000 return and a net profit of $120,000. Wow. That's not a return you're going to see in the stock market, not even if you wait 10 years. And so the real estate deals are amazing. I just got a tweet from somebody else saying, I bought a house in 2009, and now I have $30,000 more than I paid for it on an appraised deal. Deals abound. Make it happen. You have to make it happen. Matt bought a house for $26,000 in cash last year. He's renting it out for $950 a month. He's bumping that to over $1,000 a month in September. These deals are there. And they're not just there for people like Matt or this other guy or Joe. They're there for you. They're there for me. You and I can buy all kinds of properties, and we can actually make a difference, and we can build a financial dream for ourselves. I can build it. You can build it. Because that's just how it works. And so a recession is not necessarily horrible news for everybody. It's horrible news for the people who are concerned, and if you're concerned about losing your job, a recession is not going to be good. So you're going to have to put away every cent you can. And guess what? If recession doesn't come or it's not as bad and you don't lose your job, you're going to have cash in the bank, and you can become like Matt or Joe or Steve or me, and you can go out and buy a $20,000 property, and you can go rent it out, because you know why? You're going to have options. And that's what cash in the bank gives you. It gives you options to decide what it is you want to do. And I love that. I have put up on Amazon a whole bunch of ebooks about how to invest in real estate. These were the ebooks that we created for our How to Profit from Foreclosure events that we did a couple of years ago with WSB. Hundreds of people came to those. We had some of the top talent, smartest people, investors, mortgage people, appraisers, real estate agents. They came and they shared their wisdom, and I created five or six ebooks on investing in real estate that you can buy for 99 cents each on my Amazon site, or you can buy the whole thing for $2.99. It should be accessible to everybody. You want to get this information. You must have it if you're going to go investing in real estate. And I can't make it any easier or cheaper than I'm doing right now. You just go to Amazon and type in my name and click on the ebooks, and they're all there. It is so simple. Take advantage. Go for it. Make it happen for yourself. You can do it. Sometimes I think you just need somebody there encouraging you a little bit. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. You can start tomorrow. You can start today looking online for properties that are available for sale. And what kind of a return are you going to get? You're going to get a better return on a cheaper price. So if you buy a $20,000 or a $30,000 or a $40,000 or a $50,000 property, and those properties are selling for 20, 30, and 40 cents on the dollar. It exists. It exists. I know people call me all the time. They say, oh, you talk about buying houses for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. I can't find any. They must not exist. You're wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong about this. And if you look online, if you join our Twitter conversations, you will see everybody else who's tweeting in about their amazing deals that they bought. Now, I know you're scared and you're a little stuck and you think, I'm just not there yet. I don't have enough saved. I'm here to tell you, you do have enough saved. You could go to HUDHomestore.com and for $1,000 you could buy a HUD home. You can do this. You don't have to be a brain surgeon. You just have to be willing to do the homework and willing to make it happen for yourself. You have to be able to visualize a real estate empire of your very own. And I know that you can do it. 404-872-0750 is our number. Let's go to the lines. Kiki joins us on the line from McDonough. Hi, Kiki.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind today?
I seek advice.
Okay, well, let's see if I can give some to you.
Okay. We bought a house about 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It was worth about $165,000.
Okay.
And we have been paying on it. I paid for it for about 3 years, and then we refinanced for 15 years.
How much mortgage do you have left?
I have $45,000 left.
And what interest rate are you paying?
5.3.
Okay. It's how many years do you have left to pay on this mortgage?
Well, it was supposed to be finished in about 3-4 more years, but we pay an extra. So hopefully, I want to pay it faster than that. I'm paying an extra $500 a month.
And you want to know what? If you should refinance?
I wonder if it's worth refinancing.
No.
No,
it's not worth refinancing. You're going to pay this off in 3 years?
Yeah.
The costs of the, first of all, if you could even find a lender to give you $45,000, which is pretty hard because most of them don't like to do it.
Yeah.
Because they don't make any money at it.
I understand.
It cost you like $45,000.
Is it worth it to sell it, try to sell it? I know, I mean, we bought it $165,000, but now the tax thing that comes, it says it's worth $130,000.
It might only be worth $52,000. I don't know. You have to look around it. You have to look at what is going on in the rest of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Why would you want to sell it? What are you thinking there? What's going on?
You see, what happened is the house has 3 bedrooms and 2.5 bathrooms, and it's only me and my husband left in this house.
You don't have any grandchildren who come to visit or kids who are coming home?
No, they're
all
out of other cities.
Okay, so you have 3 bedrooms and 2.5 baths.
Yes. And a dining room and a big kitchen and a living room and
no, those are actually the standard rooms in a house.
Yes,
glad
yes.
to know that you have a standard house.
Yeah, but sometimes some houses don't have extra dining room and
Where are you going? Have you thought about where you want to go?
The thing is that I was thinking, I mean, since the market is so good to buy right now, is it worth it to try to sell it and move into a smaller one?
You know, Kiki, it depends on where you want to live and how much you want to pay for that.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me you're going to buy one of these $20,000 properties and get rid of a property that might be $50,000 and pocket the difference, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You could do that if you want, but if you like where you're staying, you obviously have extra cash. You're almost done paying off this house.
Yes.
It seems to me that you could take the extra cash and you could probably buy a different property with it, and you could rent that one out. You seem like the perfect person to be a landlord. You have lots of focus, lots of time. You could even buy another property, move in, and then rent this one out. There are so many things that you could be doing. It's not just an either-or. If I'm going to make a decision for you, I'm going to say, rent this one out and go buy a different one for you to live in, the one that you and your husband think you really do. And then, hopefully, the two of you aren't so cramped with your one-bedroom, one-bath house that you're going to move into that you don't start hating yourself.
I don't want a one-bedroom, one-bathroom.
So what are you really talking about? You're going to, every house you buy is going to have a place to eat dinner, and every house is going to have a kitchen, and every house is going to have a living room of some sort or a family room. Think about what you want to live in, how you want to live.
Yeah.
And then go find it. and then rent out this property, and now you've got two properties to manage. And you sound like the kind of person for whom two properties or three properties is no big deal. You'll get both of those paid off. You'll buy a third. You're going to do very well for yourself. And it's because you already know that it's all it takes is having money. So you have this extra $500 a month, and you probably have even more of that that you're stashing away. Go put that money to work. It's sitting in a bank account earning not even a 0.5%. Go put it to work. Go buy a house and then rent it out and get 10 or 15% on your money. You're going to feel a whole lot better about that. 404-872-0750. 18 minutes past the hour. Let's continue on with our call. Let's see, where should we go? George joins us on the line. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind today?
I'm 50 years old. I'd like you to weigh in on a situation that I have. I've recently lost my job.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
I am marketable and optimistic about reentering and being fine.
Okay.
I've been debt-free several times in my life due to property buys and sales. However, right now, I have some recreational property, 40 acres, and not a good time to sell. I fully realize that, but I bought it right, and I can sell it for like 10% loss to try to free up the equity and invest in something else. And I'm just twisted. I've never taken a loss, and I'm just twisted on, should I wait, should I not wait?
You know, if I said to you, George, it could take you 15 years to get back to zero on that property, would you wait or would you not wait?
I would not wait.
If I said it would take 10 years, would you wait or not wait?
Not wait.
5 years. Ah, 5 years is an interesting point for you. It's a point of inflection. So you're willing to wait 4 or 5 years if you think you could get an extra 10 or 15% on the property.
Yes.
What does that do for your situation right now? How do you take advantage of deals that are out there if you got all this money locked up in this 40 acres?
I know.
You don't have a job, so you're not going to qualify for a mortgage.
Right. Yeah, I'm okay that way.
So you're stuck because you can't pull the trigger because you don't want to have a loss on your record. When you have bragging rights right now that you've always made money in real estate, you don't want to not have bragging rights at the water cooler anymore. And that is not a good reason to not sell.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Elise.
But I'm here to tell you, you don't even have to talk about this at the water cooler. You don't have to bare your soul. And confess that you lost money on a real estate deal. How's that?
I like that, and I respect your insight and opinion. That's what I'll do.
You do that, and let me know what you buy with the money instead, because I think you've got a great track record, and as you've been hearing all show, there are people out there getting amazing deals. And really, what you're going to talk about the water cooler is how you sold land, bought it early, you sold it, and look what you bought with it. You're just going to gloss right over that 10% loss. And you know what? Nobody's going to be the wiser.
I'm in.
All right.
Yep.
Have a great day. Let me know what happens. 404-872-0750. We have a prize pack to give away when we come back. Some news about mortgage interest rates. 21 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
27 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show. We're live on Sundays, 11 to 1. So glad you could join us today. I have a prize packed giveaway, the value $426. Cool. It includes a pair of tickets to see the Gang of Outlaws tours featuring ZZ Top in concert June 10th. Coming right up at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents. And a pair of tickets for Diana Krall in concert. She's doing a whole Brazilian theme with her new album. July 11th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents. And a gift certificate for a full house plumbing inspection, courtesy of Superior Plumbing. All this can be yours if you are the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. Call now. Be nice to Fred. He's taking your call. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today on News Talk WSB. You know, I'm here every Sunday, 11 to 1, and what we do on this show is we talk about your real estate decisions, your home decisions, things that you are going to decide that could change where you live, how you pay for it, what you do with it. I mean, what could be more important than talking about your single biggest asset, your house, and the mortgage you use to pay for it? And there are a lot of people who are in trouble with it, and yet there's a whole lot of people out there who are about to make a lemonade with these lemons, the very same lemons. And so what we do on this show every single week is talk about your choices, your options, your dreams and desires, and how you're going to get there. Because if you don't have a roadmap, you are never going to get where you want to go in this world. That is for sure. Our number, 404-872-0750. If you'd like me to pick up the cost of the call, you can call on our toll-free number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. My website, if you haven't been there, you should really go. And you should go often, because I have 8,000 pages of information up on my website, free of charge. The website is thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Twitter feed is at Glink. We have a Facebook fan page. We have a very active social media circuit that we do. You might also want to check out the Equifax Finance blog. I'm the managing editor for that. And what we do there is we bring in experts on all sorts of interesting topics, including real estate, which yours truly writes. But we bring in the experts to answer your questions. It's just what we do on the show, but it's all these other extra topics. You know, the five pillars of personal finance and some family money. Julie Staub, who you heard on this show a couple of weeks ago, has just launched a Spanish language channel. So if you know somebody who would be more comfortable learning about credit in Spanish, they should go to the Spanish language channel there. But such cool stuff going on. And then there's Money Watch and Yahoo. There are all kinds of places to see my content, and I hope you'll tune in, because there is so much to learn and so much to talk about, and you just don't want to miss a single minute. All right, let's go back to the phones. 404-872-0750, 38 minutes past the hour. John joins us on the line from, where are you calling from, Fayetteville?
Fayetteville, that's correct, Elise.
Fantastic. Glad to have you on the phone today.
Thank you. I have a problem. I bought a house from HUD foreclosure, and I got an insured title on it. The about 6 months after I bought it, the state came by and says, your water well is on our right-of-way. You've got to move the well. And they showed me a letter they sent to HUD a year ago saying that you've got to move the well, and they knew it was on the state right-of-way, but they didn't tell me that.
So HUD, wait a second, let me see if I understand. So HUD knew that there was this huge defect on the property.
That's correct.
And they didn't do anything. Now, when you had, did you have a survey drawn up?
I didn't know, but the survey wouldn't show that anyway, being it was on the state's right-of-way.
Right, but why wouldn't the survey have shown the water well? Usually if there's a right-of-way, and I believe you're talking about an easement. So it's your property, but the state has an easement for it? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
So easements do show up on surveys, or at least they show, there are some things that it can show. And it didn't turn up in the title survey?
No, it did not.
Okay. So what is it you want to do, or what's your concern?
Well, I'd like to get my money back, because to me it looks like fraud. Because they sold something with a known defect in it.
Okay.
As an individual, I know it would be fraud.
So have you talked to the title company yet?
I've talked to the, I've tried to talk to the closing attorney, but he won't return my calls or anything.
Oh, that's nice.
I have not talked to the title company, no.
Okay. You need your own attorney. You need a real estate attorney, your very own attorney, somebody that can represent you in this situation. Because are you living in the property or was this an investment?
It's a rental property.
Okay. So you need to have your attorney call the title company and say, Houston, we have a problem. There's no need to be stuck about this, but you need representation. You can't do this on your own. Maybe you could do it on your own, but I don't think you'll be effective at it. So what you need to do now is you need to pick up the phone. Do you know a real estate attorney other than the one who won't talk to you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, call the real estate attorney, talk to him or her about the situation, and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably have to pay the attorney, which is really annoying. But you
yes,
may be... You may be able to come to some sort of settlement about attorney's fees. Maybe not. But if you are concerned that you overpaid for this property, given this right-of-way, you're going to need to enforce that. You've got title insurance, so this is exactly what title insurance is for. You can get your money back and turn the property back over to HUD.
That's what I would like to do.
Okay, and what's holding you back?
I have talked to several people. I haven't talked to an attorney yet, but I've talked to several people that are in the real estate business, and they said that I've got a good case for fraud against the government. But here again, you start spending...
But you haven't talked to any attorneys. You've talked to people in the real estate business, but no attorneys.
Well, that's true.
So it's irrelevant what they think, frankly. I mean, I'm sure they mean well. But you need to talk to an attorney about whether there actually is fraud, or even if there is fraud, whether you just get your money back from the title company and move on. What are you going to do? Are you going to sue HUD over a fraudulent claim, and then they give you your money back? You can get that back today from the title company.
I see. Okay.
So it's not like, why would you want to go into a lawsuit, of all things?
Well, I can't tell you, really. I thought it would be best to do that. To get my money back.
Yeah, but you may not have to do it. If you have title insurance,
mm-hmm.
What you need is an attorney to go to the title company and say, hey, this property is not as advertised. It's about $40,000 overpriced because that's what's going to cost us to build a new well and take it off the right-of-way and blah, blah, blah. And you should have caught this. You didn't catch it. You have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you buy that kind of stuff. So good for you. You did the right thing. Now you got to do the next step, and you've got to get on... with an attorney, and have the attorney give you legal advice as opposed to your friends just giving you their opinions, which don't matter in this case. I want to know from an attorney, if it were me, I would want to know what my options are, what's the easiest, cheapest, and fastest way to get my money back, and how do I move on from that? And that's what you want to know. 404-872-0750. It's 43 minutes past the hour. Carolyn joins us on the line. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. You're on the Elise Klink Show.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sorry. I had a comment or a question regarding the gentleman that called in. That bought the condo for $20,000, and he's getting $700 a month rent, therefore making $9,000 a year. But that doesn't really take into consideration HOA dues, which can run $200-$300 a month,
mm-hmm.
as well as taxes and, you know, renting. I just kind of want to point that out, that there's a lot of expenses.
There are a lot of expenses. There are a lot of expenses. You know, I didn't ask him whether the $750 was net or gross.
Uh-huh.
But even if it's gross, condo taxes can be fought, not individually, but on behalf of the condo association, which I hope they do if they're selling condos for $20,000, don't you? And
well, they're probably not, though. I've owned a couple condos, and that's never been included, you know, so that's usually on top.
I don't exactly know what you're talking about when you say it's included on top. I'm talking about fighting condo property taxes, which are when you're selling properties for a fraction of what they're actually been, they've been assessed at, the condo association should hire an attorney to fight the taxes so that they get lowered for the property. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
but,
right. I was just saying that the owner still is responsible for that.
Yes, they still have to pay taxes. They still have to pay HOA dues. They still have to pay all these other things. So let's say that he nets out at $450 a month. He's not paying a mortgage.
It's still a good deal, but
it's
I'm just
a great
saying
deal.
That he's not going to be making $9,000 a year on it. He's probably going to be making about half that. So it's still a good deal, but just not near probably what kind of was indicated, I guess, is my only point. Because that's a significant difference. So
It is and it isn't, right? It's $4,500 a year, but he's already got two of them. He's going to buy others. And so when you add the point of what I'm talking about is really that it is incredibly important that if you're going to buy property, to be cash positive in some possible ways is even better. But to buy properties at the lower end, because those are the ones that are going to appreciate in value. In my example, I said in 10 years, the $20,000 property could be worth $50,000. It could be worth $100,000. It could be worth $75,000. It could be worth $42,000. What matters is when you're making those investments, and you're right, you have to account for expenses. It's still a profitable enterprise. And if you've been on Twitter with me this afternoon, what you would see is a whole bunch of other people who are also online on Twitter talking about their deals that they've made money on. Guy who's and so this guy has one set of numbers, but we have another set of numbers from a different guy who said that he's actually bought his property for $26,000 in cash. He's renting it out for $950 a month, bumping it to $1,000 a month in September. So maybe his profit is $9,000 a year. The point is that these properties are out there, they're profitable, and if you're willing to make the investment and you're willing to be a landlord, it's a good deal. And it's a good deal for everybody else who's living in those condos to have those other condos bought, taken off the market, rented, because all of the prices will rise faster in a condo. You know, condo prices are only as good as basically the last condo that sold. And if the last condo that sold is worth $20,000 or $26,000 and you paid $75,000 or $100,000, man, you just want those condos sucked up as fast as possible so that your property gets back to normal as quickly as possible. 47 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. Gloria joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Gloria. Gloria, you with us? I think Gloria is not with us. Let's try Jeff. Jeff, you with us?
I am.
Hi, Jeff. What's going on?
My daughter is going to be buying a house, her first house.
Fantastic.
And just driving in and hearing your show, I thought I'd... It seems like there's some first home buyer credits or deals or something that I just wanted to see if that's still happening today.
Well, the home buyer tax credits are over. Those are long gone. Those were around in 2009 and 2010, and they're over and done with.
Okay.
So you don't get those on the federal level. But what may still be available are, on a local basis, first-time home buyer, not necessarily credits, but down payment assistance.
Okay.
So here's how you want to look for that. You want to go online, not when you're driving in a car. So you want to go online, and what you want to do is, and I want your daughter to do this, by the way, because she's the one buying the house.
Yeah.
I want her to be reading books, and I want her to go online to my website, and I want her to, read the local newspaper. I want her to educate herself.
Sure.
You can't do everything for her. So
no,
what you're
going to?
Okay, good. So what I want you to do is go online, or have her go online with you, and type into any search engine of your choice. I would suggest Google, and just write the city she wants to buy in, and first-time home buyer tax credit, or city she's living in, first-time homebuyer down payment.
Okay.
Type in that in, and up will pop local assistance if it exists. So if it's in Atlanta, it's usually the Atlanta Housing Authority, right? But it might be different nonprofits offer different deals in different places. So you want to have her go online.
First-time homebuyer tax credit and first-time homebuyer assistance.
Right. I don't know that there will be any more first-time homebuyer tax credits, at least not federal tax credits. There may be some state stuff here or there.
Okay.
I don't think there is at this moment, but there might be something that I don't know about, like some sort of local. It would be very local. And see what's available. And then she can start from there and apply and see, because some of these are going to have income requirements, some of them that are location-based. But until she does it, she's not going to know. Now, what is her timetable for buying?
The next 3 months.
Perfect. So she's got a lot of work ahead of her because she's not only got to do this, now she's got to figure out her financing, and she's got to figure out how the process actually works and where she wants to go and what agent she's going to want to hire. She's going to be very, very busy. It's 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Our number, 404-872-0750. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning on WSB starting at 10 o'clock for a special one-time, never-before-heard announcement that you are not going to want to miss. And before then, you probably want to pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution for their special report on Medicaid patients and how it's going to cost all of us a whole bunch of money in taxes. 51 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I haven't talked about mortgage interest rates, but I do want to mention that mortgage interest rates dropped to another record low. The 30-year rate didn't really shift too much this week, but, and this is a really big but, the 15-year rate fell below 3 points this week, 3%, to 2.97%. Now, I got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I called one of my mortgage lenders that Sam and I use, and I said, should I refinance? I have a 15-year, 3.25%, paid almost nothing for it. And he said, nah, I don't think you can beat that deal. Well, guess what? Interest rates fell again. The 10-year is even lower. I just don't think I'm going to refinance again, but it is an amazing opportunity to actually get a mortgage and keep it for the 15 years and use the cash for almost anything else that you can think of. It's kind of astonishing to me. It's astonishing that you could end up with a 15-year mortgage at under 3%, fixed for 15 years. You wish you could get it for 40 years at that price. Of course, the 40-year rate is a lot higher than that. But you know that inside of 15 years, mortgage interest rates are going to go up. And they may not go up all that much, but they sure as heck aren't going to be here. These mortgage interest rates are here because the economy is so bad, because recession is coming, and because you and I both know that no matter what all these experts say about how Europe isn't going to touch us, Europe completely falls into recession, it will. It's going to do some damage worldwide. And so everybody is flying to the U.S., flight to safety, U.S. Treasury's safest thing on the market. And so we benefit with the lowest mortgage interest rates in history. Don't miss them. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks so much for joining me. Be sure to tune in to thinkglink.com. Follow me on Twitter. Go to Amazon and buy those investing real estate books. And be sure to tune in here next week at 11 for another Elise Glink Show. Have a great week, everybody.